that. Jesus Christ, high, lifted up. The tomb is empty. The grave couldn't hold him. Isn't that a neat thought? That Christ Jesus is there. He's waiting. He's watching. And next week, we're going to celebrate it. In fact, next week, probably more people will be in church. And what can I say? Probably any other Sunday. And it should be that way. It should be that way. Because it's on that day that we celebrate Jesus Christ being lifted up. I'm so excited with that. So next week, you're going to have the opportunity to invite somebody, possibly, that hasn't gone to church all year. That's going to be the time. You've got a great opportunity. Boy, I'm so excited to see the church family here. Such a special need with all friends and all who come from many ways. And maybe this is the great day to come. It is. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it and be just extremely glad. Tell you what. Book of Matthew. Exciting book. An exciting book because inside of this, we're going to discover about the treasures of life. I think you have witnessed something this morning far greater than what the mind really can capture. You have seen firsthand an investment. What you have experienced this morning, you will see again. You're going to say, no, what are you talking about? What you have experienced this morning, you will see again in glory. And how do I know that? I know that because where a man's treasures is, there will his heart be also. How do I know that? I know that when you make an investment in the lives of people, there's reward. And so what we're going to discover this morning is something very, very important. We got good news. And folks, today we need to let people know because we have a message of God. We have a message of hope. Where's that hope coming from? Somebody may say, who is God? Who is God? Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. So what you're going to experience during this time is the one, the only presence of the Lord God Almighty. There is no other God. But this great God is bringing forth something for us that we need to capture. We experienced it this morning. Isaiah 41:4 says, who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last. I am He. So what you experienced just for a moment is the Almighty God, there is no other, calling another generation. And He's calling this younger generation, He's calling them to Himself. But when you think about it, He's calling them to Himself. Why? Because He holds the keys. He holds the keys to death and hell, the Scripture says in Revelation 1:17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. So who is this? This is the one who has the keys. Now, Creator, passing His word to another generation, keys of life. Keys of life. In Southern Baptist life, 54% of the people receive Christ below age 18. 54%. Can you imagine that? But what that also means is 46% receive Christ above the age of 18. God is calling generation to generation to generation. So therefore, some of you have heard the call when you were young. Some heard the call when you were older. But I'd like for us to focus about these treasures that God is investing. Turn with me, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You need to underline that in your Bible if you don't have that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. And then a firm statement, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. These words. And I begin to look at these words. I begin to say, well, Lord, what's really happening in our day? Wealth. If I said, what is wealth to you? Or what is treasure? Some of you would say, wealth, my treasure is in my 401k plan. So be it. Or my wealth and my treasure is in that house that we built and spent 20 years building it. Or my health and my wealth is, well, it's in the, boy, you ought to see my baseball card collection. I got original Babe Ruth. Or you can say, my wealth is defined in many different fashions. In fact, if I showed you the Dow, and let's just see. Give me a clip of that there, Larry. Show me 10 years of the Dow if that's in there next. Not the video, but the picture. Next slide. There we go. The Dow. 30 of the largest, widely traded, held publicly. Can you see that little line, how it goes? Some people say, man, that's my heartbeat. That's not really your heartbeat, okay? But that's what's happened, and this is what many people are trusting in. That's a 10-year history, and all of a sudden, you see the fall. Now, but what you don't see is when that last heartbeat happens, guess how much of that's going with it? It's kind of like I heard about this rich man. This rich man, he was on his deathbed, and he started playing with his hands. And he just had an obsession with his hands. And he said, his wife looked at him, and she didn't understand what was going on. So she called his best friend Jim, said, Jim, would you please come over and talk to my husband? There's something going on. I don't know what it is, but his hands. So Jim came over and started talking with his friend who was there on his deathbed. And Jim said, look, I perceive that something's going wrong. Are you hurting? Is there something wrong with your hands? And this rich man said a classic statement. He said, they're so empty. They're so empty. You know, when that last heartbeat happens, those hands are empty. The Bible says, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. I didn't bring anything in the world. I'm not taking anything out of it in my hands. What then? The Bible says, invest your treasures in heaven. How does anybody do that? How do you take a Babe Ruth baseball card? Or how do you take whatever you got in your bag? How do you take that and invest it? Well, here's the answer. You invest it in people. You see, people go to heaven. And when you make an investment in people, they go to heaven. What happens? Your treasures go to heaven. And when you get there, there's very possibly, there's some kind of inclination is that there's going to be a welcoming committee for you. And I believe that one day, that welcoming committee, when you walk through those gates, they're going to walk up to you and say, hey, I didn't know you. You remember the children's choir that day that I was doing all these wonderful signs? Danielle's going to go up and say, thank you. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody's going to walk up to Danielle in heaven and they're going to say, remember that Sunday? That's my heart. You see, the children can invest in the adults. Adults can invest in the children. those that go to heaven, there's reward there. There's reward for you, for me. And that's the reason why it's so important as we begin to look at this thought right here. First of all, let's ask ourselves the question. Where are you investing for the future? Where are you investing for the future? Is it federally insured? Where are you investing for the future? Well, you got two choices. You got the bank on earth, and you got the bank in heaven. Which one are you? If I were to say, well, where's your wealth right now? Oh, you tell me what's in your bank account. But it bounced last week. No, no. What's in your account? Where's your wealth? What's your investment? For many of us, we look upon people and say, how wealthy? Do you know what I think one of the most wealthy people in all the world was? I think it was a man named Henry Hill. Some of y'all know Henry Hill. Some of y'all's kin folks back there, but Henry Hill, when I was this young kid, he spent time with me just showing love. And see, a lot of times he didn't have much, hardly anything, but it wasn't that. It was the investment. Because the Scripture very defines something right here, that you have only one life to live. And the way you invest your life determines what your future is going to be like. So what is the investing principle? It's this. To determine to spend your life by investing in things of eternal value. Can you this day make that determination that the focus of my life is going to be taking the life that God has given me and invest it in people and things of eternal value? Well, there's the option there. I mean, you do have an option. You've been given treasure that you can deposit on earth. But look at this. The Bible says in verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. That's totally foreign to us. I mean, our whole life, it's as though we're trying to pile it up so that at the end, we can lay it down and go out easy. I got some news for you. It don't work that way. When you get over 40, you're building to 40. But after 40, you're repairing. Some of you know, I wake up in the morning now and find some of my pains chasing. Did you know it can go from the knee to the toe to the other toe? It can do that. I mean, it really can. Some of y'all are old enough to know. Am I right, Miss Betty? Does it chase us around a little bit? Good. She's about as old as I am. And so it's out of life. It's fun. But wait a minute. If all of us here on this earth, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen? Earthen vessels. The Scripture says, lay not up your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. And earthen treasures are temporary. Where the moth can eat anything like cloth. The rust can rust out any types of metal. And you can't carry it with you. In fact, let me give you a formula, okay? Here's your formula. Possessions of life. Got it? Everything that you got. Possessions of life. Now, subtract death. And what does it equal? Possessions of life minus death. And what do you take with you? Nothing. Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? So why do we spend so much of our energy in trying to say more, more, more when we're not taking it with us? You're going to live here on this earth 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years, and that's it. Compared to eternity. Man, that's not even a drop in the bucket. This earth is over 6,000 years old, and we're only just making a little speck of time here. So what's happening right here is that people are focusing in, but what they're focusing in on, earth and treasures are vulnerable. The Scripture says, where thieves break through and steal. What is the job of rust? The rust of that. What's the job of the moth to eat it out? What's the job of the thief to steal it? Hey. And they're doing it. And they will do it. You don't believe, we won't go there. But I can tell you that your wealth can go like that. Gambling, taxes, dishonesty, theft, medical bills. Man, it can be gone. And then what's left? Your guarantee. But what does he say? Deposit in heaven. Deposit in heaven are secured by the eternal Father. In other words, verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And why is that? Because where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. In other words, once you've established your treasures in heaven, they're good for gold. They're good for eternity. They're good for time. Hey, bank in heaven. Don't bank on earth. Bank on earth can fail. Just look at our economic system, and you can see how major banks fail. People say they're too big to fail. Oh, no, they're not. They can fail. Not heaven. Why is there not going to be any thieves or moss or rust? Because in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivals, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So what is he saying? Hey, I can't steal and never call me thieves. Isn't that amazing? You go to heaven, God gives you a big mansion in glory, you don't have to lock your doors. And that would be pretty neat, wouldn't it? But what he's trying to do, he's trying to tell us to look at your deposits. Because the Bible says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, let's look at this, okay? Here's a guy, bumper crop. The rain came at the right time. Sunshine came. Crops grew up. Corn, soybeans. I mean, they had it all. And all of a sudden, this guy said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't got no place for all this stuff. So what I'm going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. And that's what he did. He built these bigger barns, and he put all of his food and all of the stuff in there, and he said to himself, he said, soul, you've got enough for several years. Now all you need to do is just eat, drink, and be merry. But all of a sudden, that night, a little voice came to him and said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then, whose wealth will that be? That's what the Lord Jesus said. This man who had it all, he retired early, and he said, I'm just going to live it all. And God said these words. Jesus said in Luke 12, 21, he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, let's say, okay, all right, that's the negative side, but give me the positive side. Just ask a persecuted man. Mister, who has suffered for the Lord Jesus? Matthew 5, 11, 12 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all kind of evil manner against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Hey, great is your reward. Hey, Wednesday night, we have a ball. For some of y'all who are not having the opportunity on Wednesday night, we get in that room over there in the double wide trailer. Boy, we just let it rip. I mean, we just have a big time, and we talk about Jesus and the Bible and life, and you ought to be there. It's fun. It's fun. If you hadn't had the opportunity, come in there and sweat with the rest of us. I mean, come in. We just have a great time. But during that time, Deanna's been, maybe this is her second time, I think. And she shared her testimony with just a piece of it. But she said to me afterwards, she says, you know, Robert, he said, when I was not a Christian, she's only been a Christian for 3 years, when I was not a Christian, life was a whole lot easier. I mean, I could live the way of the world and I didn't have all these problems. But after I became a Christian, man, it's tough. Hey, she's right. Let me let you in on a little secret. The broad way, man, thousands of people are following it. But the narrow way, the way that leads to heaven, the way that you deposit in heaven, it's narrow. And only few that may define it. So where do you want to deposit? Broad way that leads to death and destruction, or the narrow way that leads to heaven? Hey, and people are struggling. By the way, there's a lot of Christians around you who have a lot to grow. We have a lot of problems. But the beautiful part is, God's not through with us. He keeps chiseling away. And one day, we will be more like Jesus. Well, let's ask about the man who's giving. Matthew 6:4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Whoa! When you give for the right motive, God's going to reward you. That's what he said. What about the praying man? Matthew 6:6. But when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou shuttest the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, that's pretty neat. Larry, let's just give a testimony this morning, okay? Sometimes you just need to hear it from the person who is experiencing something called prayer. And really, what Christ can do in your life. Let's just share it. Let's just take a moment.
My name is Pauline Grace Dellison Grove. And my home life wasn't so hard. My mother was insane, and my stepfather was brutal. I belonged to the Devil's Disciples Motorcycle Club. I could crack safes and pick locks by the time I was 17. I rode motorcycles, drank, shot drugs. There probably is no law I haven't broken.
On the streets in and around Boston, Pauline's story isn't unique.
I walk the streets and I see people, and I see that there's so much hurt and so many lives.
It's a story heard over and over again, not just in Boston, but every urban center in North America.
Hi, I'm Dick May. I'm MSC, missionary for the North American Mission Board.
Dick May knows these streets, and he knows these people.
You know, you grow where you planted. I grew up here, planted here, you know, and this is where my heart is.
People just like Pauline.
The first time I met Pauline, I had been diagnosed with cancer, stage 4, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they had given me 3 months at best to live. At the time I was going through it, my wife and I would stop into a coffee shop. We would stop back there, and Pauline was in there.
They would come in every Sunday after church, and they were like Bible thumpers. But I was so fascinated after I got through thinking that they were really weird and go away. After I got through thinking that, I was so fascinated that I couldn't stay away from them.
And then one of the times we had gone in, as she had gotten to know us and talk with us, and knew that I was still what I had been going through, she told us that she had was diagnosed cancer also.
Pastor May was as bald as a cue ball because he had cancer stage 4. And I told them about my cancer. And I must have wanted it deep down inside, or Christ must have wanted me.
And I just knew in my heart that, you know, this is the time that, it was, that she had to make sure that she knew the Lord. One way or another, she had to at least know and make a decision. I asked if she wanted to accept Christ. And she said, yeah, I do. And I said, well, let's pray. And she kind of looked around, people in the restaurant. She said, here? I said, here, now. There's no time like now. So we did. We prayed, and she accepted Christ right there.
It wasn't too far from that coffee shop to the church that Dick May planted, a church that embraced Pauline. But for her, the battle was far from over.
I went through 48 weeks of chemotherapy once a week. I came to church one Sunday, and the next thing I knew, I had every hand, every woman's hand on my body, asking God to take the cancer away. And in 6 months when I went back, my liver levels were perfect. My liver enzymes were perfect, which meant the cancer was gone.
God not only performed a miracle on Pauline, he totally healed Dick. And he now knows what could have taken his life served as a bridge so someone else could find life in Jesus Christ. And if God could use that...
God will use everything. Anything and everything. It don't make a difference what it is, what circumstance, what the situation, sickness, disease, or joy, happiness, or a meeting anywhere. To use it for his glory. You know, to witness to anybody. A lot of hurting people. You know, we need to reach them. There's a lot more of them in the city to reach than it's easier to find.
Her story makes me realize or think or want to say to people, listen, don't look down your nose at anybody. You never know what God's going to do if you'll just open your mouth.
Here I am. I'm born again. Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. And if I keep praying and keep reading the Word and learning the Word, as long as I keep doing that and I keep on this path that I'm on right now, I'm going to be okay. What do you think about that?
I think she's right too, folks. I really think she's right. When you begin to see about that and investing into the lives of people, then all of a sudden we begin to invest and God does things. For instance, have you ever just taken just a few moments and say, what are some of the dynamics that occur right here? In the nursery, let's just take that. In the nursery, what do we try to do? We try to teach our children that there is a place of love. Now, twos and threes and fours, they're coming along. But when they go to the nursery, they say, somebody loves me. And we move to the children. In the children, we try to teach them, what is the name of Jesus? And so, therefore, during the lives of the children, they're beginning to understand there's something real. Something real. This man, Jesus, tell me more. And many of the children widen into their heart. And then all of a sudden, we hit the age of our teenagers, of our youth. And they begin to ask the question, what is my purpose in life? And all of a sudden, inside of the lives of teenagers, the little windows and doors of opportunity, they need to discover what purpose and meaning is all about. And then we come to the adults. And the adults are to practice it daily. Practice it. So that in our nursery, pain, in our nursery, rewards are occurring. In our children, rewards are occurring. In our youth, rewards are occurring. In our adults, rewards are occurring. Because you see, there's banking going on around this place. It's banking in heaven. And that's what God intends for us to do. He wants us to understand that. Because we got to ask the question, what are you investing in the future? The Scripture really defines it down when we begin to think about this. Investing in the future means set your eyes on the light of the world, and that's Jesus, the Bible says. As we look at this, the light of the body is the eye. So therefore, if you are accepting and the light is coming to you, the light will flood your body. Singleness, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Jesus Christ, light. What you see is affecting your eternity. What you see is affecting your life. Because if what you see is darkness, then the Bible says, how great is the darkness. Oh, you think you see everything that's going on in life the way it is? Jesus said, darkness. And how great, how thick is that darkness? Oh, let me give you a picture of it. Simon Peter and John were walking one day and they had a focus of light. They saw this man who was lame and they walked up to him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. This man rose up in the authority and the power. They had their eyes focused. Light. And then look at another man. This man's name was Achan. They just walked around the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho had fallen. A great military victory had occurred. The children of Israel, they went in and they did spiritual surgery against those people who were worshiping other gods. And Joshua said, don't take anything in there. But one guy's eyes focused on some changing of clothes and a little silver and gold. He focused on darkness. And what happened? He was pointed out to all the people. And then he, his wife, his children, his cattle, and his oxen, they were taken to this area and they were stoned to death. And after that, they were piled and burned. What's the difference? The difference is one focused on life and the other focused on darkness. And that's what the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us here. Because when he says to us, he tells us and he asks us the question, who is investing in your future? Who is investing? A principle right here would be surrender your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have, who's going to be investing for you? God in the eternal kingdom or Satan in the world system? You're making an investment. What is the focus of your life? Is it light, Jesus Christ? Is it darkness, the world system? Is it the Lord God or is it Satan? Hey, you're making investment. Your life, you've only got a few days to live on this earth and you are making investments in your life. Scripture says you can only have one master. Verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. It's impossible. Because the Lord Jesus says, you have only one supreme authority. You have only one allegiance. In other words, he says, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You can't have a divided house. You can have one devotion. In other words, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot have two masters. And then the Lord Jesus said these words, you cannot serve God and man. What's the meaning? You cannot sell out to Jesus Christ and serve the world of the material system. You can't. It's one or the other. Balaam had a need for greed, and Balaam sold out his prophetical office. He died by the sword. There was this guy we call the Good Samaritan who saw human need there. A man who had been beaten up and robbed and all of his possessions taken, left for dead. And a Samaritan comes along and says, sir, I help you. It's a big difference. He helped him. He washed him. He took him to the inn. He made provisions for him. The Good Samaritan invested in human suffering. Balaam invested in greed, which is our need today. And who is investing on our behalf? So let's ask ourselves some real pointed questions here. Where are you investing? Where are you investing? Are you investing on the treasures of the abundant wealth? Are you banking on earth or are you banking in heaven? Are your treasures temporal, vulnerable, or are your treasures sound and secure with eternal wealth? What are you investing in? Are you investing in seeds of light or seeds of darkness? Who is investing for you? Is it God in the coming kingdom or Satan in the world order? Where are you investing? Deanna, just using her, I asked permission to share this with you this morning. We learn something when we go to things tonight. Deanna has been struggling for several weeks about her career. She has a career in the National Guard. She was up for promotion. It was time for reenlistment. She said, should I continue on in following my career? Should I come out? If I go, then what will happen to my daughter? She struggled through this. Finally, she said these words. She said, I sacrifice for my daughter. That was her words. I sacrifice for my daughter. She gave up her career so that she could raise her child in a straight way. What became a sacrifice? It's going to be an avenue of great wealth. When you invest your lives in the lives of your children, great wealth. Abraham Lincoln one time said, he said, "My words are my product." Your words that you speak upon those tender ears literally affect their eternity. You may not think it's much, but God says these words. He says, "If you give a cup of cold water in my name, you have no wise solution." Get words, get a cup of cold water, get the healing of a man. Where to invest in your life. Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to invest in those things of eternal value. Even as Dick was investing of his life there in that city, in that inner city world, Lord, that life was saved. And eternity is much richer. The future. Father, today many of us are having to make big decisions. What are we going to do with our life right now? What are we going to do with the rest of our life? How are we going to invest this precious thing called time for eternal values? Lord, today, make each one of us, let each one of us make that decision. And may we be banking in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. It all starts with that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, He's the one who wants to invest your life in eternal value, but you must surrender to Him. And surrender means laying it all down and say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life." And today, if you are willing to say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life," receive Him as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come down front and let's pray together. What is your name? What is your name? Some of you have been struggling. The prayer altars are going to be open. It's an opportunity for you to get alone with Christ for just a few moments. Making it complete. What does God say to you today? Let's stand together and make decisions.